Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a great Thursday, as well as you possibly could be with everything going on. Social distancing, and you and your families are healthy. Waddle and I here for you. Waddle continues to do the show from home. I'm in the First Midwest Bank studio. We've had a lot of fun today.
We have. I have no shoes on, and I've got pajama bottoms on. I've had them on all day.
Wow. Do you feel that you don't get into work mode when you don't shower, or are you just fine wearing the pajama bottoms all day and letting it fire on all cylinders?
It doesn't bother me either way. I had the pajama bottoms on. I went upstairs. I worked out for an hour, and then I got in the shower. I came out of the shower, put the pajama bottoms back on.
There you go. That's the T-Waddle life right there.
That's right.
Greeny has done a great job through all of this. We've known him for years and years. He's worked on this radio station on Mike and Mike and now does a great job on Get Up. He was just on television doing SportsCenter from his home. These are odd times for sure. And Greeny always starts off Get Up by saying that we'll get through it together. Greeny, how are you and your family doing?
It's nice of you to ask. Thanks. We're all doing fine. These are unprecedentedly strange and confusing times, and we've got two teenagers, and so they're in the house. So the four of us in the house, that they're I would say tolerating us for the most part, but we are we're safe and we're just sort of waiting it out, I guess, like everybody else. How are you guys doing? I'm glad to hear, Tommy, that you're in your pajamas.
Yes, I am, Greeny. I'm at home. I've been at home now. I think I'm going on 10 or 11 days, and it's one of the great things that is part of our job is we can actually do it from home. So it's been fun, and really, I haven't skipped a beat. I just get to wear different clothing while I do my job.
Yeah, and I'm relieved to hear that you've showered. So yeah. It sounds like things are going pretty well.
Absolutely. Now, I'm missing the hell out of some sports, but I think that I speak for everybody when I say that.
Yeah, me too. But the National Football League certainly gave us a lot to talk about last week, and it continues. And I'll quickly say this before we launch into whatever you guys want to talk about. A lot of people, I think, were critical at the beginning of last week of the NFL for going forward with the beginning of their new league year and not delaying that because it meant this free agent frenzy and all these millions of dollars getting thrown around. And were there bad optics of doing that at a time when the economy was, crashing because of the coronavirus and people were in trouble? And I will say this, that certainly I understand that point of view, and I'm not suggesting anyone is wrong for saying that, but there is another side to it, which is that I know that people have come up to me and have sent me notes that said they're so happy that we were on TV and you guys are on the radio and we had stuff to talk about that they actually cared about, and that it was enabling us to provide people with that escape that sports is always supposed to be. And no, we don't have games, but at least we have really meaningful stuff. At least the Bears, got Nick Foles, and now we can argue over whether Trubisky or Foles will be the starter week one or week eight. And that's a real conversation that actually matters to people. And I think people are very relieved to be able to listen to you guys in the afternoon and hopefully turn my show on TV in the morning and listen to us talk about something besides the coronavirus. And of course, all that other stuff is so much more important than anything we're talking about, but that's the whole point. Sometimes it's nice to get away from that.
Yeah, and Greeny, I think you've covered some really bad Bears quarterback derbies back in the day, maybe even Walsh and Kramer. I forget if you were covering that one.
But
does anything summarize Bears quarterbacking better than a Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky training camp competition?
That's so funny. So you guys can hold me to this. I will be back in town. My daughter will be back in school, and I will be back in town, of course, sometime this fall when the Bears are playing. And you can bring this tape back. I'll come down to the studio like I did last time, and we'll sit and talk. And you can bring this tape back, and you can make fun of me all you want if I turn out to be wrong. I think the Bears are going to have a really good year, and I think their quarterback play is going to be really good. And there's a part of me that thinks it's going to be Trubisky. Dan Orlovsky has sort of convinced me that Nick Foles is the perfect person because of his personality and the sort of the way he is to to come in there and be the supportive, as competitive as he is and as much as he'd like to play, to be supportive and helpful towards a young quarterback who obviously really needs that, and who I thought was starting to show some signs at the end of last year of playing better. When I was with you guys in your studio last year, we were having conversations about whether or not Mitch Trubisky was literally the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
But by the end of the year, he wasn't that. And I'm telling you, we'll roll the tape right now, and we'll bring this back, and we can make fun of me all you want when I'm there in October, and I'm totally wrong. But I think Trubisky is going to play well with Foles sort of as a little bit of a coach in the quarterback room, and I think it's actually going to turn out pretty well.
Wow. A late March KOD. Didn't you predict that the Bears were going to be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl Ooh. Last year?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Listen, Greeny, I think we all are hoping what you just said is gospel because, yeah. I mean, it would be the best outcome of all, regardless of what people think. I actually believe you don't give Nick Foles, you don't give up a fourth-round pick and give him $21 million guaranteed, especially with the familiarity that he has with this coaching staff. I don't think you make that move if you don't believe he's your guy. But the best outcome of all would be exactly what you described, that Mitch Trubisky finally in his fourth year proved to everyone that he got it. He just got a little later than we had all hoped, and then you can go forward with him leading your team.
Well, now, let me ask you guys this, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you, and obviously it's all been so crazy the last couple of weeks. But what were your positions, and I don't mean to hijack this conversation on your show, but on the possibilities of either Cam Newton or Jameis Winston coming to Chicago? Either of those, I think, would have involved shipping out Trubisky or clearly making a decision to move on from Trubisky and bringing in one or the other of those two guys. Would we have been happier with either of those?
Waddle, you take the Jameis thing, and I'll take Cam.
Okay. I would say with regard to Jameis, I had concerns about Jameis, as talented as he is coming out of Florida State, where he was a turnover machine then. And there have been some highs, but there have also been some lows. And based on how good this defense is, the last thing I want to see is a quarterback come in where the ceiling may be a little bit higher, but the floor is too low for me. And the turnovers are too much of an issue. So I would not have been an advocate of bringing Jameis in just because over the course of his time, he's been too careless with the football for my taste.
And Greeny, I said this about Cam. Today, I would go to Cam and without a physical, say, here's a one-year prove-it deal. You don't have to go through this whole free agency and worrying about where you're going to play. We'll give you this with incentives. We're going to trade Trubisky, and we're going to reset our quarterback room in one offseason with Cam Newton and Nick Foles, and the Bears are better off for it.
Yeah, it's very intriguing. I mean, I like that. Listen, Tom, I can't disagree with the word you said. Obviously, the problem with Jameis Winston is his ceiling is high, his floor is incredibly low, and you get both in every game.
Yeah.
So that's obviously every game starts 14-14. He's going to throw two touchdowns for both teams, and then let's see what happens beyond that. But I still the biggest criticism I have of Jameis Winston is that he's 26 years old, he's been in the league 5 years, and I still talk about him like he's a prospect.
Right.
But I still haven't given up that someone will be able to turn the key in the lock of him and unleash what he could be, because his highs are so high that I haven't given up on him. But I actually agree with you. The Bears are a defensive team, so you don't want someone who's going to be turning the ball over the way he obviously does.
You always want somebody that is a difference maker. But in this instance, it's the old adage, Greeny, that, okay, kid, you don't have to be the reason why we win this game, but you can't be the reason why we lose it.
Right. And so the other one, Sylvia, I agree with you. I like the idea of Cam. If he's not healthy, then you have Foles, and you're not really any worse off than you are now. If you're, in your mind, you're satisfied by playing Foles. And if you do strike gold with Cam, then he was by far the most appealing, I think, available quarterback that was on the market this entire offseason, including Brady, when you factor in Brady's age. Brady's 43 years old. I mean, Cam, there's no reason to think that Cam Newton doesn't have, if he has one good year left in him, maybe he has five. And at his apex, he was infinitely better than any of the other people that were involved here, infinitely better than Ryan Tannehill or Teddy Bridgewater or Nick Foles or, you know, he was the MVP of the league 4 years ago. So I agree. I would roll those dice, and I'm going to be very interested to see which team finally does.
Our friend Greeny joining the show. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. The question you guys have been asking on Get Up has been, who is going to be the Bears starter in Week 8? And this is an interesting question, because if Trubisky starts the season, it then will be Nick Foles in Week 8. But if Nick Foles starts the season, like Waddle is saying, that, hey, you've spent $21 million at a fourth overall pick, the question that I have, Greeny, is can Nick Foles do it over a 16-game season? It's something we've never seen him been able to do.
Yeah, I have the same question. I believe that Trubisky is going to be the quarterback. I still haven't given, listen, you just said it right. I couldn't have been more wrong about them last year. And I am wrong about things like this far more often than I'm right. Anyone listening to this conversation who knows my history knows that. But I haven't given up on Trubisky. I saw some things I liked at the end of last season, and I was frustrated for a lot of last year because I really thought that the coach did not want to play the way his quarterback plays. And you know, when you've got a quarterback who is a square peg, then you should not design an offense that is a round hole. And I thought towards the end of the year they started designing their offense to be a little more square. And if you put together a good square peg offense, I don't know that Mitch Trubisky, look, I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar, but I think he could become good enough to win with, especially with what you're talking about, the kind of defense that they're capable of being. Trubisky can run it, which he didn't do nearly enough of last year, but did so well 2 years ago. I still have not given up that he's the guy they can win with. I think he will start Week 1, and I actually think he'll still be starting Week 8.
Yeah, it's interesting because we said all year long this past year, while Mitch struggled, it wasn't just a Mitch problem. The offensive line provided really very little. There was nothing out of the tight end position. And I agree with you, Greeny. I don't think, as much as I like Matt Nagy, I don't think he did his quarterback any favors. I don't think he put him in position to take advantage of what he does well. I would segue to what's happening with Tom Brady. Like Shefty said this months and months ago. I wasn't willing to believe it because it just didn't feel right. Now that it has happened, what are your thoughts on Tom Brady and Tampa and ultimately what will become of the Patriots?
Well, I'll start with Tom Brady and the Tampa. I love it. And the reason I love it is because I think he made a football decision. Now, I know that today his lawyer filed for the trademark on TB times TB, meaning Tom Brady in Tampa, which suggests there was a business side of it. But I heard so many people say to me, he's going to go to L.A. and play for the Chargers because this is all about building the TB12 brand. And I thought to myself, I hate the way that sounds. I don't want Tom Brady to end his career trying to pick a place where it's going to be the best for his brand. I think he went to the place where he gave himself the best chance to win of all of the available options. I don't think there was that many places for him to go. I don't think people were knocking down his door, and I'm not that surprised. He is going to be 43 years old, and he has shown obvious signs of slowing down, which is only natural for a player of his age. But I think he chose the place where he gives himself the best chance to win. He's got better weapons than he's had since Randy Moss was at his peak, and that's whatever it is, 12 years ago. So I love the decision that he made, and I think they have a chance to be really good. That becomes quickly, I think, the best division in football. You've got three, you know, when Matt Ryan is the baby of the group, you've got a trio of very old quarterbacks, but I think they're going to be really good, and I think the Buccaneers will make the playoffs, and let's see what happens from there. As for the Patriots, and I you know, a lot of people have made fun of me and think that I'm, this is my Jets fan bias. I think the Patriots are going to stink. I think that they are the oldest team in the NFL. And right now, their quarterback room, you think the Bears have a bad quarterback room. Right now, the quarterback room in New England is Jared Stidham, Cody Kessler. What is that his first name? Cody Kessler.
Right.
And Brian Hoyer. Then that's it. And if they don't sign Cam, then I think that's what it's going to be. They're not drafting Tua Tagovailoa. Those things aren't on the list of options. So unless they wind up trading for Matt Stafford, which you keep hearing like little whispers about, and if that happens, then all bets are off. But their offense was terrible last year with Brady. It's going to be unimaginably bad this year, I think, without Brady. I think the Bills are going to be clearly the team to beat in that division. I think the Dolphins, if they get a couple of things right, are on the come. They're going in the right direction. The Jets will still be the worst team in the division, but I don't think New England is going to make the playoffs. I really don't.
Greeny, on the situation that's going on right now, we just had a debate amongst our producers and Waddle and me about, like, when do some of these leagues have drop deads? Or don't they? Like, is there a time where baseball says to themselves, hey, it's not worth trying to play a 50-game season? Does hockey just say, we're getting too close to next year, we're not going to award a cup this year? How do you believe a lot of this is going to go if this extends for a couple months?
Well, I want to answer your question with a question. Do you believe that there is a civic responsibility on the part of these leagues to come back whenever they can and provide whatever they can, whether it feels like a championship that has the kind of integrity that all the others in the past have? Do they have a civic responsibility to come back and provide entertainment when it is safe for all to do so for a population, as we just discussed at the beginning of this conversation, that is starving for it, that is dying for it, and that so desperately needs that escape that we all lean on and love so much? I happen to believe the answer to that question is yes. And so I am hopeful that whatever can be salvaged of any of the seasons for the NBA, for the NHL, and if we start getting into a place where Major League Baseball has to seriously consider calling off their season, now we're getting deep into the summer, and I sincerely hope that that doesn't wind up being the case. But it is my belief that if they can come back and provide any sort of that entertainment that we count on them for, that they have a civic responsibility to do so, and I believe that they will do it. Some of them, I believe the NBA will do it for sure, and they'll come back and they'll do something. Whatever it is, if it's some sort of tournament, whatever it is, they'll come back and they'll do something.
I agree with you, Greeny. I think that inherently they have that in them, but I think the only thing that trumps their civic responsibility or their feeling to want to do that is their lust for money. And I don't say that in a bad way. I think that they're going to try to come back for the reason you mentioned, and also because there are millions of dollars at stake. There will be a fear factor, but players want to get paid. Owners want to get paid. Everybody, there is a financial component here that I don't mean to sound callous by bringing it up, but I think when you couple the two of them, I do think you'll see these professional leagues try to get back sooner rather than later without jeopardizing the safety or health of their people.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's nothing wrong. They are a business. All of these are businesses. There's nothing wrong with them being concerned about the business side of their business. That's perfectly natural, and everyone is going to be when we come out of this. But it should go without saying that first and foremost, the safety and health of all involved, of the right players, of anyone else involved there, and of all the fans, has to be taken into account first. No one should be expected to do anything that jeopardizes that. But once there is reason to believe that it is all safe to do, then I think for the reasons you described and the reasons I described, they will and should come back and do something. And I think baseball will have plenty of time to have a representative season. I don't know exactly what that will look like, but I would be surprised if baseball... Well, look, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball as to know when they're coming back. But I think that baseball will find a way, if they have to play into November, I think baseball will find a way to play a representative season.
Greeny, you're from New York. What is the city like? I know you're doing the show from Bristol these days, but what is New York City like these days?
Shut down. I've never seen it like this. I was in New York, you know, through September 11th, and it was... The feeling walking down the street is eerily similar to what it was then. People just looking and looks on people's faces is just stunning. And the streets are empty and quiet. And then, of course, in this case, unlike that one 19 years ago, everything is closed. Practically every restaurant is closed. Practically every shop is closed. The subways aren't running. So it is shut down. And my family, we've gotten out of the city. We live still mostly in Connecticut, where my kids grew up, and so we're in our house in Connecticut. But I left the city last Wednesday, and it's a mess. I mean, it's really bad, and it breaks my heart to see it. But I have nothing but faith that we will come back, and by we, I mean all of us. All of us in this country will come back better than ever. It'll take some time, but we will, because we always do. And I look forward to that day like crazy. And in the meantime, you know, we're all getting through this thing together. Like I said at the beginning of the conversation, I think it's great that you guys are on the air doing what you're doing. I'm thrilled that I'm still able to be on the air doing my show. And as sports fans, we will get through all this together, and we will come out the other side and find a way to be the better for it.
Amen.
Greeny, all the best. We appreciate your time. Keep up the great work, and we look forward to that next conversation. Hopefully you're right, even though you're a truther on Mitch.
I will be there. I was going to come this spring, with Nikki and at Northwestern, and come down to the studio and hang out again. And if she does go back to school, if they do reopen school in the middle of May, which there's some hope that they will, I will come back and we'll come in and we'll hang out.
Awesome.
You're the best, Greeny. Thanks.
Thanks, Greeny.
See you guys. Thank you.
There you go, Mike Greenberg. He was on this radio station through a lot, but nothing quite like this. And he's doing Get Up every morning at 7 o'clock on ESPN. Who would have thought that he's a truther? We'll talk about all that. A lot to reflect on. All coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hear from you at 312-332-3776, wherever you may be at home. If you're still on your commute, you have to go into work. And of course, to all those people who are so vital to all of our lives, the frontline workers, of course, the delivery drivers who are getting us the things that we need, the people who must go to work to keep the country running in some ways. You know, the people working these restaurants, we're thinking about you, the people still doing the carryout and delivery business. I mean, there's so many people to name that we try to mention them each and every show. We mentioned Michael Rubin earlier today from Fanatics, and they have turned their plant into basically, instead of creating Fanatic jerseys, baseball jerseys, they're now creating gowns and masks for the frontline workers.
Well done. Well done. Everybody pitching in. The epitome of everybody pitching in.
Yeah, and Waddle, we're getting behind this, too. Great charities, and it's something that all of our peers are doing here in Illinois. So ESPN Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. 8 food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Your gift will be processed by the Greater Food Depository of Chicago and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. You can donate without leaving your home. Here's all you need to do. Go to feedingillinois.org/unite or feed IL to 91999. That would be a text. Text feed IL, one word, to 91999. Your generous gift will help make sure families in our communities have enough to eat.
Wonderful, wonderful program right there.
Yeah. I want to give you an update on, and then ask you if anything stood out to you on what Greeny had to say. Surprise so far. I think there's an upset, guys, going on right here. Well, actually, it's turned around a little bit. What is your favorite day on the calendar? And we gave you 4 options. Now, there are some missing. You could tweet us. These are all of our first place votes, including Big Cat 2, in our final 4 question of the day. It could be a sports day. It could be just a holiday or whatever. And these are the 4 choices we gave. Christmas, college football opening weekend, the first day of the NCAA tournament, or Thanksgiving. And I think, Waddle, you thought that Thanksgiving would run away and hide.
Yeah, I thought Thanksgiving would win by an impressive margin.
It is in third place right now.
Are we living in the moment? Is the start of the March Madness what we're talking about?
Well, Christmas is getting a lot of backing, so that would not be living in the moment.
Okay.
37.9% of the voters are saying the first day of the tournament is the best day on the calendar.
Okay.
27.3% are saying Christmas. 27.1% are saying Thanksgiving. And then the college football opening weekend is 7.7. So you can vote on my Twitter handle. It's all brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer through thick and thin. Toyota is with you every step of the way.
Do you guys, I know how much you enjoy Thanksgiving. And Sylvie, you mentioned a lot of it because of the food. Does it, do you... The other 364 days of the year, do you hold back on, what you would want to eat? Let's say this Saturday, you go, honey, let's have a Thanksgiving feast. I know it's not Thanksgiving, but we're gonna break out all the foods.
You want us to take out our stockings too? I mean, while we're at it,
well,
do you take out the stockings and stuff them with gifts on other days of the year?
Yeah, sometimes.
No, I think it's like the feeling that everyone in America is fat at the same time.
We're all off work.
Yeah, we're all kind of drunk.
And
we're
most people get the Friday after that off, too.
That's key, and that's underrated oftentimes. It's you have the holiday to celebrate, toast everybody, drink heavily, eat all this
but
great
that's
food.
That's just a Thursday.
But you know you've got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to just kick back and recover.
No, I'm a big fan of Thanksgiving, but
Thanksgiving, Tom?
To me, it's like the fascination with the giant meal is just, it's a little weird to me.
I overindulge. That's my style. During the week, like I told you, I really don't drink alcohol until Thursday. And then I also try and watch my diet pretty much Monday through Thursday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all bets are off with everything.
You make such a sacrifice on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
You watch your diet on Thursday, except for the alcohol when you start drinking on Thursday.
I watch my alcohol Sunday through Wednesday. And then then my strategy is I usually pick two of the 3 days of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And this week, because last week, this Saturday was a disaster with the kids and everyone being inside. Where I was too hungover. I drank a lot on Friday night after the week was over, and I couldn't handle what was going on in my house. So I told my wife, I go, look, I'm going to drink tonight. I'm drinking a lot tonight. But Friday, I'm going to not drink anything, so I'm going to be good to go with the kids on Saturday. Make sense?
Indulge. Homeschooling has sent my wife to a glass of wine per night.
Yeah.
Easy.
So if you want to participate, 332-3776, whether it's about what Greeny said, the poll question. I want to go after to the guys at the Athletic. yes, at 2 Athletic. That's coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, so I don't know if you saw this, Waddle. The Athletic did a new Chicago Hall of Fame column where a lot of their voters voted on, like, it was their writers. This was a writer-based thing. All five of our teams got five players inducted into the first Chicago Sports Hall of Fame. You know, we're all looking for content these days. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So John Greenberg, our friend, was like the lead writer on this, but then they had all of their writers, I guess, vote on it. So like they wanted to set the foundation with 25 players. And they did five from each team. And I texted John Greenberg mad yesterday when I was reading this. I got angry about it. And he's like, you do know this is not a real Hall of Fame, right? But look, if I'm going to take them seriously and I'm going to consume their content through thick and thin, you know me, Waddle. I took my Bulls list very seriously.
Yes, you did.
I don't screw around with that type of stuff.
No, you don't. Not playing games around here.
So can you name the Cubs, five Cubs, who deserve to go in their first class of the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame?
All time, five Cubs.
All time. The first class. They're only putting five Cubs in. Can you name who they would put in?
Ernie Banks.
Ernie Banks is correct.
Billy Williams.
Billy Williams is correct.
Greg Maddux.
Greg Maddux is not correct.
Okay. Fergie Jenkins.
Fergie Jenkins is correct. So you've gotten three of the five so far.
Sammy Sosa.
Now that's my beef.
I knew that's where
Rhino.
You were going.
Rhino's got to be there, right?
Rhino's in there. Yeah.
Rhino is in there.
And then the final one is
Ack Wilson.
Nope.
Ooh, that's a good
one. I don't know. I'm guessing old timers. They probably
you,
didn't
you
go
think
that
old timer, no. But not that old.
Hmm.
David Ross.
Pretty good. No, they went with Santo. And, okay. And like, I love Santo. I worked with Santo.
Oh, yeah, I love Ronnie, too.
I could make an argument, and I know it will piss off some people, that Sammy Sosa is the greatest all-time Cub.
Oh, them fight words.
I just couldn't.
Not for me.
And I just... I feel like how now all of a sudden the Athletic is getting on their high horse and they're not allowing Sosa in the damn Hall of Fame. He can't even make the team's Hall of Fame.
I think your willingness to the Sosa thing, I think, probably vaults him ahead of Ernie Banks for you for emotional reasons. But you would probably, if you tapped the brakes, wouldn't you say?
Maybe, yeah. I get it. It's the popular way, and most people would go Ernie, Mr. Cub. Now, they didn't want to put in Rizzo or Javi or Chris Bryant right now. Those guys achieved something that none of the other guys have, and that's winning Sammy, World Series.
I put Sammy in there every day, all day.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how could you be so arrogant to not put Sammy Sosa on any sort of a Cubs all-time list? I mean, you ignored 600 home runs. Right. You've ignored 30 seasons. Now, all of a sudden, you're voting with morals? I don't get it, and I think this is too many people are doing this.
Maybe Tom Ricketts has a financial stake in The Athletic we're not aware of.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. So I texted Greenberg, and you know
what did
you know,
he say? When he
said exactly what I told you. He said, "You do understand," and I knew he would give me some stupid, snarky answer. "You do understand this is not a real Hall of Fame." Then why are you writing the column? Come on!
I think this is Sylvie's way of lashing out that you were named the top rated sports host in the city.
No, that was a vote. That's well deserved.
I'm drinking right now. I'm being here with you.
You should. You should be. Yeah. Greg Braggs is on the line. See Blue Braggs. Hey, Greg.
Ugh.
Do we have a riddle? Guys? I wasn't even going to bug you today, but Abdallah just was begging me to come on. And he wants more riddles.
False.
I'll take a riddle. I like riddles.
They haven't been good riddles, though.
What's that?
They have not been good riddles.
Agreed. All right. Well, here's our thing. Me and Aldo Gandia, last night on Bears 100 Proof, he was asking me about this, and he said I should come up with a Bears riddle, a Bears-centric riddle.
Now we're
so he helped
something.
Me out with this here. Are you ready for this?
Yes, it's now be this is better.
All right, here we go. You'll love this, Sylvie. I guarantee it. So here we go. Why should Matt Nagy put a Madden football logo on his visor?
Why should Matt Nagy put a football logo?
No, Madden a Madden football logo.
Correct.
I don't like this one because I can't Google it.
Is it something about...
Oh, he's stumping you, Abdallah. No cheating this time.
His play calling, something about his playbook.
Is it something about a jinx?
Nope.
Now, is there a trick in here that it's not John Madden and it's Joe Madden or something like that?
The reason Matt Nagy needs a Madden football logo on his visor is because he needs an advisor.
Okay, that's bad.
Well, all right, this needs to stop.
Hang up. Thank you for hanging up.
Show yourself out.
Oh, my God.
Show yourself out.
Oh, ban. Can we ban him? Can I ban him?
No, we can't ban him because he's a lovely guy.
I control the phones.
I don't even know. What
I get to ban him.
The Madden football logo isn't even a thing.
Oh.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
So ban.
I never hang up on anybody.
So ban.
I felt like I was on Family Feud, and I went to hit that hang up button. So.
Dude, I play Madden. My son has every version since, like, 2001. Like, there is no, like, is he talking about the lettering of Madden? It doesn't even have, like, an official logo.
And you guys thought my baseball thing was the worst thing we were going to hear on the show today.
Yeah.
You're right.
Look, you brought it, though, with that. Well, Abdallah doesn't think that they should play baseball if it goes too far into the season. He doesn't want a short season. But I do think it will, whatever it will be, even if you look at it differently, Abdallah, it will, you'll always look back at it as the summer that it was important that they played baseball.
Okay, with that in mind, let me ask, because college football is your thing. What would you say if college football said, you know what, because of all that has transpired, we're only going to be able to play 5 games this year?
No.
Wow. Come on.
No, I don't want a shortened season. I don't want.
I don't
five
either.
Games.
But it's better than nothing.
It's not better than nothing. It's not. It's not short. Having players play on PTI, I saw them debating whether or not they should play 7-inning doubleheaders on Saturdays and Sundays. That's ridiculous.
I don't like the 7-inning thing because teams are built specifically for 9 innings.
I agree.
Why are now all of a sudden you taking strategy and you're making it totally different for these doubleheaders? Okay, boo-hoo that you have to play 4 extra innings. on these. If you want to cap a game and you want to have ties this year, that's fine because you're playing so many. But I would not, if I'm going to do something drastic, I would put the tie in before I would do a seven-inning game and just not play extra innings.
I don't like seven-inning games. Let me ask you this, Adam. Say you're really hungry, okay? You're really hungry, right?
He's screening a call, but I know where you're going to go.
So
here.
I'm really hungry. And,
I'm listening.
And I'm only going to be able to give you one slice of pizza. I can't give you the whole pizza. But I'm going to give you one slice. I know how hungry you are. You're going to tell me you don't want that one slice? You're hungry.
The difference is, by all accounts, we hope that this, if they do delay the NFL season or delay college football season, it won't be that long of a delay because this is supposed to, we'll have a vaccine or whatever. By the fall, we should be okay. The hope is by fall, we're okay, right?
Okay, but you're using common sense now, but we're having a non-common sense conversation
so
that
I'm having
says,
a common sense about, a common sense conversation about baseball specifically. Because you're going to have the NBA try to play a playoff, their playoff, and NHL try to play their playoff, and the NFL, who plays games on Monday, Thursday, and you've got college football on Saturday, and then you've got the NFL again on Sunday. That baseball, the appetite, one, won't be there unless you're a diehard baseball fan, because there's just so you're going to tell me you're going to watch a regular season Cubs game in, let's say it's October.
I will.
Over.
Or you know what, Adam? Because the White Sox are such a hot commodity right now, you'll definitely make time in late October or early November for a regular season
White Sox
game.
You like to go into a restaurant with a menu with multiple things on the menu? I like to have a choice. I could have chicken. I could have steak. I could have fish.
Oh, you're a Cheesecake Factory guy. You want a novel. You want a novel.
No.
You want a phone book. No, I get it. You want 30 things.
I want options.
You want 30 things.
I'm good with the NFL, but it's cool that the Major League Baseball's playing too. You don't have to watch all of it. You can go to Twitter and you could find out that way.
Let me ask you this. If you have one TV and you've got an NFL game, a baseball game, and an NBA playoff game going on, what are you watching?
Well, what are they? Now, are they
regular season NFL?
Regular season, or is it the Bears?
Let's say no.
Okay, no Bears. So is the Cubs playing now? Because it's a normal Cubs game. Are the Cubs playing?
Sure.
Okay, so the Cubs are playing against a normal NFL game.
And you've got a Western Conference Finals game between LeBron and between the Lakers and the Clippers.
Ooh.
What are you watching?
I'm probably going one Lakers-Clippers,
okay.
1A Cubs, NFL 3.
You only have one TV. You can't go 1A
one
and 1B.
TV.
Yeah, one TV.
Why can't I use my remote now?
No,
why
you've
can't
got one TV. You're watching
forth.
One thing.
But Adam,
the average person only has one TV. They can't make these choices.
If the Cubs are in the race, I'm probably watching the Cubs.
But I don't have one TV, so I want as many of them as I can have.
Yeah, take that. Yeah. I can't believe I just morphed into Cap.
Wow.
I know,
we've
that
had
was bad.
A
Hang
bad
up on
riddle
me.
And a take that this segment? Can we restart this segment?
Somebody yeah, get a tattoo!
Hold on,
somebody
play the music again. Miller, let's
start this over.
We'd like to apologize for the last 12 minutes. We know you're going through a lot these days, and to give you a bad riddle and then a take that reference is below the Waddle and Sylvie standard.
Shot or no shot that was a bad thing.
Shot or no shot is coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We've had great participation today, all day. I heard Cap take a lot of calls today, too. And we're always here for you. Anything except for bad riddles.
Bad riddles, yeah. No bad riddles. I will say, Sylvie, also, did you see the video that Meller sent us last night? I just saw it now. If you're looking to laugh, it's called Bunting with Kent Murphy.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't
did
watch
you see it,
though. No, I did not
oh,
watch it.
Oh, my God.
So it's a whole video? I thought it was just like... So, like a joke of a skills guy.
It is.
Dude, I thought you watched it because you gave us the thumbs up last night in the text chain.
No, I just like the picture.
Oh. If you're looking for a laugh, everybody, I think Meller's going to put it out on Twitter. Now, listen, it's not something for your five-year-old kid to watch.
If they're 10, they probably have heard this before.
It is hilarious. Hilarious.
Meller, can you tweet it out then?
Yeah, I'll tweet it out. Okay. And I have to admit, I got almost as much joy because in the commercial break, Waddle watched it, and I listened to him laugh.
Oh, really?
And I have not heard him laugh this hard in a long time.
So it's like a fake baseball coach,
yes.
Kind of like a Tom Emanski?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? In these difficult times, you know what? You're looking for something to kind of make you laugh. This, you know what? This
yeah,
was this
you
was
need
good
it.
Medicine. Thank
it,
you.
It's
Alex.
Why the guys like Frank Caliendo are so good.
Absolutely.
Kenneth in Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Kenneth.
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're good. How are good. You?
I'm all right. Driving home.
You
well, here's my
safe.
Riddle for you guys.
Oh,
okay. We got another riddle. Really?
Wow. Why are we turning into the riddle show?
I love it.
Because that last guy was horrible.
Okay.
Because we can't break down Kimbrel blowing a save.
That's a good point. Thanks, Adam.
This would have been different.
All right. Here. The guy that makes it doesn't need it. The guy that buys it doesn't use it. The guy using it doesn't know it. What is it?
Say it to me again.
The guy that makes it doesn't need it. The guy that buys it doesn't use it. The guy using it doesn't know it. What is it?
I am so bad at riddles. That's the one thing I figured out during all this. My brain doesn't think that way. Waddle, do you have any idea? The guy who makes it doesn't use it.
The guy who makes it doesn't need it.
Need it, right?
The guy that buys it doesn't use it. The guy using it doesn't know it. What is it?
Let us in. Know. Let us in here. Let me in.
That's right.
Yeah.
A coffin.
Oh, that was, that's dark, but it's good. That's dark, but it's good. You know, that's perfect good. Time for a good coffin joke.
Well played. Oh, boy.
But you know what? Listen, riddles are riddles.
Maybe the next riddle will be about pandemics.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
No, you know what, though? I love a good riddle. I love trivia as well.
Vince in Hawaii is calling us. What's going on in Hawaii, Vince?
Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
Great talking to you again. I have two pranks that are family-friendly somewhat that anybody can do that I did myself that are hilarious. Number one, pre-record, like everybody has a camera phone, pre-record your toilet for like 30 seconds. And then wait for one of your friends to go in the bathroom. And then as soon as he's in there, start broadcasting that to the TV in the living room. And then everybody just starts making all kinds of hooting, hollering noises, laughing. And then as soon as he walks out, he'll see that the bathroom is on the television. So it looks like we were watching him or her in the bathroom.
That's funny.
That is good. That's good.
I didn't know where you were going.
I didn't know either.
And then that's a good payoff.
That was a better riddle.
A second one that I did, a real good one, is you get some glass, like any kind of glass, any clear glass in your house, sort of break it in a towel so that you don't hurt yourself. Grab one of your friend's keys to their car, and when they don't know it, you go out, you lower their window, and just grab a brick and lay it inside the car and that shattered glass around and make them think that some random person just came around and shattered their window. And when they're getting all mad about it, just roll up the window so nothing's wrong.
Not bad, Vince. Those are That's pretty good. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
There's Vince. Our buddy Mitchell in Des Plaines is on the line. Hi, Mitchell.
Hey, good evening. First of all, Greg, you have the comedic timing of a Wolverine. It's probably your best interest to beta test these riddles before you present them on air. Greg, you're a disaster. You should be ashamed of yourself. Mr. Ronald, this is about a question I've always wanted to hear from you. From your tenure with the Bears from 89 to 94, you played with a bunch of different quarterbacks. I was just curious, did you have a good working relationship with Mike Tomczak? A.
Yes.
B. Did you have a good working relationship with Peter Tomolos?
Yes.
C. Did you have a great relationship with Eric Kramer?
Yeah, I did. I had a really good relationship with all of them.
And Mr. Weil, do you think, if you, in reflection of all those quarterbacks that you played with from 89 to 94, was there one quarterback that you just connected with on some level that you really felt like a stronger connection versus the others? And if you did, would you mind disclosing who that quarterback was?
It was Jim Harbaugh.
And why was that?
It clicked. He knew where I was going to be, and I knew where he was going to throw it. And there's certain guys that you kind of read each other's mind, so to speak, football-wise. And
Wani couldn't wait to get rid of you.
No,
both of you.
Both of us were gone.
Yeah. All right, Mitchell.
Let's just put it this way. It wasn't Montana to Rice. Don't get me wrong. But right. Put it all into perspective. The one guy that, I was on the same page with more than anyone was obviously Jim.
Yeah. How about this? We have some good stuff today. The classic game for the NCAA tournament, as you know, we were supposed to air all the tournament games. So in the days that we were supposed to air, like tonight's the Sweet 16, we're going to be airing the Illini-Arizona game from the Allstate Arena.
Nice.
That was one of the best comebacks ever. I could still watch that YouTube. That's coming up at 7. To warm you up for that, Bruce Weber is coming up in 2 minutes from the post-game show to talk about that game. So listen for that. Thank you to Barstool Big Cat and Greeny, Mike Greenberg. Thanks to Jeff Miller and Adam Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have a safe and a healthy Thursday night.
It's the classic.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.